on page Yud Zayin, there's a little piece at the bottom of Tezayin. It's really talking about the month of Av and of Tammuz and Av. We don't. It's not really nageya to right now to what we need to focus on. So we'll continue on page Yud Zayin. It says paragraph Ois Yud Gimel. Very, very, very big yisoid in raising our families, raising ourselves, raising our students, friends, it's everything. It's not only with children. And this is what Rabbi Tzvi Meir wants to focus on, really, for the rest of the countries. He's focusing on this, and you'll see why. If you don't have, it's chaval. The only few of you that have, you don't have the countries, it's chaval. You have to look in. It's a shame. So it's very hard to follow, especially after 7 o'clock. If I get tired. Alright. We'll be doing some English insight too. That you have. So we'll do that in a few minutes. We're going to talk now more about one of the things we're going to focus on more. Avinu Shebishamayim writes a Shneida Kaseida. Shad Kamish Kol Bayis Kol Mokum Torah Kol Shir Humolei Mashpos Atzumus Nflo Shalahav Shal Simcha. Ritzimei says that the Iker is, the main thing is that any place of Torah, any place of Yiddishkeit, whether it's in the home or it's in the yeshiva, it has to be a place that's filled with a wondrous and tremendous amount of ahava, of love, and of simcha, and of joy. And it has to be a place that's filled with tremendous hashpos, a tremendous influx, a tremendous amount of shalva. Shalva, quiet and peacefulness and a feeling of security. This has a tremendous koyach of shmira to protect the children. We know the Chazal tell us that the clouds, the protective clouds that we spoke about earlier in the Maimer, in the Kunches, that the protective clouds would symbolize our children being protected and our homes being surrounded. The Anani HaKavu and the Schus of Aaron HaKayin. And the whole Inyan of Aaron HaKayin was Ohev Shalom V'Roidev Shalom. The whole Inyan, the whole Mohus, the essence of Aaron HaKayin was that he loved the Jews, he loved to make peace between Jews, he was a Roidev Shalom. What does it mean in the schus of Aaron? How does that affect us? That Chazal made such a big thing about this. That in the schus of Aaron we had these clouds of glory surrounding us. It's not just history. Everything the Torah is telling us about ourselves now, and what Chazal are telling us, and the Torah is telling us, is that in order for us to have Anani HaKavod surrounding our homes and surrounding our children wherever they go in this world, the Iker is that there should be, that the home should be filled with ahava, with love, and with shalva, and with shalom. This brings shmir. It's a shmir shalafros aleinu sukkas shlomecha, which is what we're davening for, especially Friday night. Friday night when we're able to return inward into our homes and into our real personal and private lives of in the community, in the shul, around the table, and we're trying to strengthen the Anani HaKavod. Shabbos has a tremendous kach to do that. We've spoken about that in the past, that Shabbos has so important, that Shabbos should be Shabbos. It should be Shabbos primarily, should be with the family, with the home. It became a popular thing to constantly have company and guests and to have a tumult. This is a new thing in Klai Yisrael, Be'etzim, the extra socializing on Shabbos as opposed to strengthening. I'm not talking about helping, obviously people that need to invite others over to the mechazik, especially people that need chizik, but primarily Shabbos is a time to strengthen the Anani HaKavod, the clouds of glory, Ufros Alein Sukkas Shlomecha, and that's what we're davening for, Shabin Yushalayim, Ufros Alein Sukkas Shlomecha, to spread upon us the sukkah, the covering, the protective covering of Hashem's peace. Amalek ha-yochel yitofes rak la'elisha ha'anon poltan. Chazal tell us that the only Jews, the only ones from Bnei Yisrael who Amalek were able to attack were those who were excluded from the cloud of glory. Sheva Dan, for reasons that we're not going to go into right now. There were Jews who unfortunately were excluded from the cloud. And because they were not surrounded and protected by that cloud of glory, they were vulnerable to the attack of Amalek. And nowadays there are many, many children and many adults who feel that they're not surrounded by that Anani HaKavod that comes with a home that's filled with Ahava, that's filled with love, that's filled with respect, that's filled with Shalom. HaKoyach Shel Ahava Yesh Lo Koach Atzum Shel Shmir. Rav Tzvi Meir is explaining, and it's not anything we don't know, but we have to learn in the context of Torah, that Ahava, the Ahava love, has the most remarkable strength of Shmira. The Aaron HaKoyin, whose entire midah was Oyev HaSabriyas, was an Oyev Yisrael who loved everyone. Everywhere Aaron went, he created these protective clouds. Now we have to understand, what does that mean and how does that work? Yesh Hashpo Shel Yirah V'Yesh Hashpo Shel Ahava. We know that there's also certainly a very, very important Hashpa, a way of a certain midah that we need to infuse into our homes and into our lives, which is of course the midah of Yirah, of being God fearing. V'yaduah Shekmo Sheklapeh Kadosh Baruch Hu Yesh Ahava V'Yirah. In our relationship with Hashem, there's love and there's fear. Kach klape av ve'ein. So too, in a relationship with parents, there's love and there's fear. Uklape malavna fear. Okay, we're not talking about being afraid. It means respect and awe. Uklape malamdim with teachers, yesh ahava ve'yir. In the relationship between students and teachers, there's love and fear. Ve'avinu shebashamayim rod says shneihem. And Hashem's Baruch wants us to feel both of these things, to feel both the ahava and the yir. Aval, however, Lifnei Bias HaMashiach, before Mashiach comes, all the Svarim teach us, Ha'ikar Hu Ahava. Even though, of course, there has to be discipline, and there must be respect, and there must be fear, but the Ikar before Mashiach comes, the main midah that will protect our children in yeshiva, at home, and ourselves, the main midah is Ahava. There's a tremendous, tremendous hunger, more than ever before, and a need for children to be loved, for even for Hashem's older children, that's us, to be loved, and the atmosphere of the yeshivas and of the homes in the old days that were maybe to a larger extent focusing on the yira, on the fear and on the respect and the awe. Nowadays, many of those homes where the parents, or the yeshivas, where the teachers or principals persist with that midah of yira being stronger than fear, being stronger than love, there are many sacrifices, and there are many who are being excluded from the cloud of Hashem's protection. And Nebuch, many of the sacrifices, many of the kabbonis we see around us here in Eretz Yisrael, everywhere. U'kamoisha kosov maharebi, Rabbi Elimelech, just as Yahrzeit Sunday, Ma'oit Sadiq, as Abachin Shabbachach Heisman. I'm sure you remember that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, even though each one is very, very loved by Hashem, and each one, of course, is the embodiment of a different midah. So in the first bracha of Shemona Esrei, we say every day, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, v'Elokei Yaakov. Avraham means love, means chesed. Yitzchak means fear. And Yaakov means truth. The Gemara makes a point to explain to us that even though all three are precious, but how do we end that bracha? Bracha to Hashem? Magen Avraham. The shield of Avraham. And Chazal tell us that Hashem told Avram, even though all three are beloved, but b'chach ha'isma, but the chasima, the seal is always the essence, is the main thing. The seal is with Avraham. The Svarim tell us on a deeper level that Bechach Chosman means historically, that there were different times in history where different midos, whether of love or fear, emes, there were Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, different times in history, there were different midos of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that were, so to speak, ruling over the others. But Bechach Chosman means that before Mashiach comes, the chasima, the end of time, the conclusion of history, to bring Mashiach, the ikar is the chasima, the ne'ila of history, is Bechach, is with the midah of what? Of Avraham Avinu. And the midah of Avraham Avinu is Avraham Ahavi, as it says in Pasuk, like, Avraham Ahavi means my beloved, means the midah of chesed, the midah of ahava, of love. Which doesn't mean Chas Hashem without yira, without fear. It means that the ikar nowadays must be ahava. And it's frightening to see, and we're going to read, and we're going to talk more about this, how many educators and how many educators who are supposed to understand children simply don't get it. They don't understand this, that the ikar is even more important, it's hard to believe, more important than SATs, and even more important than regions, more important than even the grades in Gemara and Chumash, is the midah of Bechach Chosman, of ahava, of a child feeling when he comes into the yeshiva that my Rebbe loves me, my teacher loves me. Or when you walk into the house, that my parents love me, I'm loved. And that's the yesod of Bechach Chosman, that the chasima is with Avraham Avinu. Let's understand more. V'yesh, continuing in paragraph Yudalek. V'yesh harbe harbe, on page Yudzayin. V'yesh harbe harbe sibos lomor ribui ahava. There are many, many reasons for this. Why is it that ribui ahava, with increased love, and ribui simcha, with increased joy, ribui or, with increased light, ribui masikus, with increased sweetness, ribui ni'imus, more pleasantness, Shahabayis Molimimenu, if a house is filled with these, more and more of these midas, of sweetness and of love and simcha, Shemokam Taira Molimimenu, and the more yeshiva is filled with this, Lomazamevi Koyachatsum Shoshmir, why is it that, there are many reasons, why is it that to the degree that a homer yeshiva are filled with these qualities of joy, of sweetness, of pleasantness, of love, why is it that creates more of a shmir, a protection clouds that will protect these children, that when they grow up, as they grow up, they're going to remain within Klai Yisrael, they're going to remain within the cloud. There are many, many reasons for this. We're going to talk about two main reasons. Why is it that this is so important? Why is it that the holy avoda of love and of joy bring to a shmira? Everybody's worried what's going to be the children at risk, kids at risk, they're going to go off the derech. Every parent, their parents have told me they're afraid to have children because they don't want to have issues, and they're afraid what's going to be with my kids, they're going to go off the derech, there's so many kids. Everywhere you turn, every family you hear, there's, God forbid, there's something going on. And the one thing that is most obvious and most clear and should be most natural to a Jew, especially to a parent, which is ahava, love, and to create an atmosphere of simcha, of joy, that a child looks forward to coming home and wants to be with these people and feels the excitement of being with these people. I saw in a sefer, a perush on the Haggadah, it's almost Pesach, it says in the Haggadah of Rabbi Arala, the tzaddik from Yerushalayim, Rabbi Arala, says that he explains that v'higadta levincha, the mitzvah of the Haggadah, to tell our children about Yitzias Mitzrayim, to tell our children the mitzvah of Pesach night, v'higadta levincha, means to tell over the story to your children. So v'higadta, Rabbi Arla says that the word v'higadta, which means to tell or to convey, is also the word megadim. Who knows what it means, megadim? Megadim means candy. It means sweet, something which is sweet, delicious. He says, if you want to convey the story of Yiddishkeit to your children, it's only when it's sweet and delicious will they be able to accept it. V'higadta levincha, and you have to tell them in such a way. Bavu zeh asa Hashem li B'tzeisim and Mitzrayim, to tell the children that I also, to me, Yiddishkeit is so sweet. If you tell your son, if a father tells his son that Gemara is terrific and Mishnayos is terrific, but the son gets the impression that it's not so sweet to his father, so then it's not going to be sweet to him either. If you tell your daughters, you tell the girls how sweet it is to say Tehillim and to daven, how sweet it is and how delicious it is to be a Jewish girl, but they don't see their mothers enjoying their Yiddishkeit, so then it's not sweet, it loses its taste. So Tzimeir explains that Hasiba HaRishayna, the first reason who Kamesha Kosum Mitzadikim, page Yud Zayin, Kamesha Kosum Mitzadikim, Schusim Agein Lenu, She'ika Koyach HaYetzer, who, the main Koyach, the main strength of the Yetzahara, who should call Echad Yeshlo as a Nefesh Elokis, every single Jew has Baruch Hashem within him, within her, a godly soul. Shechelek Elokam Imal, which is a portion of God Himself, Imaheliga Koiches, with all the holy Koiches strength, Shalazayin Midas Kivyoch Shalkash Baruch, that just like Hashem is Baruch, we were taught that Hashem is Baruch Lecha Hashem Agdula V'Agvur V'Tiferes V'Netzach Ahoid, that there are seven Midas with which Hashem conducts this world, Chesed Gvur Tiferes Netzach Ahoid Yisrael Malchus, seven Midas that Hashem is Baruch. That Hashem Baruch uses to run this world, so each and every one of us has a portion of God within us with these seven midas. In Gimel Moichim, Ma'azayin midas, and we have the three levels of intellect, which is Chabad, Chachma, Bina, and Das. U'kineged zeh yeshes ha'nefesh ha'bahamis, and also inside each and every one of us, there's an animal soul. In Ma'karcha shalok kulam, and the animal soul also has the three and the seven, but in a negative way. Intellectually and emotionally, but chas v'shalom in a negative way. Ve'echad mikoy ha'kreches shayetz yochel lahavi liyehudi es haritzaynes ha'namuchim ha'she'ifes ha'namuchim es ha'chulshus v'atayivis l'dvarim shayim. This is a very big inyan in the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and his students. We've spoken about it many, many times over the years. That just like in holiness, a Jew has this Mida that's called chesed, which means a Jew has a tremendous capacity to love and a desire to love and a desire to be loved. And it's not the same as what a guy has. The koyach of a Jew who has within him a chelik, a living soul, Hashem mamish inside of him, which a guy doesn't have. That a Jew has such a koyach, a chelik elokom yimal, means that the same way that Hashem has an infinite capacity to love, but the same way, but of course a human being is finite, but a human being contains within him this amazing drive to love. And the shaila is not whether a Jew will love or won't love. The shaila is only what will the Jew love or what won't he love. It's not a question of whether he can live without loving. The nature, the very essence of a Jew is to love, because he's filled with this mida of ahava, of avim avinu. Unfortunately, what Rav Tzimei is saying is that if love is not going to be used in the service of Hashem Yisbarach, loving one's children, loving a husband, loving a wife, loving one's teachers, and so on, if love is not going to be channeled into something which is positive, then the person will not stop loving. He'll just love those things that, God forbid, are low and disgusting. That's what he says. And the Baal Shem Tov explained this. We see this in the Chumash in a very, very powerful way. The Torah has a pasuk where it tells us about, God forbid, a relationship between a brother and a sister, an incestuous relationship. Chas v'shalom, a brother and a sister are living together like a husband and wife. And the Torah calls such a thing, what by what word, who knows? The Torah says, chesed, who? It's very odd. And over there, chesed is translated as a disgusting abomination. But we all know that that's not what chesed really means. Chesed really means love. Kindness, right? So the Baal Shem Tov explained that here we have the most horrible example of the most beautiful midah, which is love. But that midah of love is in a state of ahava nefula. It's fallen into the most horrible thing, into that which is the greatest abomination. A relationship, God forbid, in a family in such a way that's incestuous. That's ahava nefula. It's love that has fallen. It comes from a very high place. It comes from a desire to love. It comes from chesed. It comes from that great exalted supernal midah of Hashem that's called Chesed. It comes from Avraham Avinu, but it's being used, it's being applied in this person's life. It's fallen into a use that is horrible and it's disgusting. As kol ha'chulshes na taivus the dvam shvel, this same midah of ahava, of love, that gives us the ability to love Hashem and to love the people who Hashem wants us to love, and to love Torah, and to love mitzvahs, and to love all good things. This same midah v'ahava, if it's not nurtured in a healthy way, if it's not experienced by a child as love between parents, and love of parents to Hashem, and an environment in yeshiva with his love of Jews, and love of Yiddishkeit, then the child won't stop loving, because it's the most natural midah in a Jew to love. But he might love other things. He could be mishigi in love with money. He could be mishigi in love with the wrong girl. He could be the wrong guy. Mishigi in love with the wrong people, places, things. But madly in love. Madly in love. The chevra that are turned off from being in yeshiva, they're not incapable of loving. Most of them are developing the midah v'ahava in the wrong way. They're not incapable of loving. In many ways, a lot of that chevra have a greater ability to express love than the typical kids in yeshiva. But they didn't. They weren't able, for whatever reason, in their homes or in the yeshiva, they weren't able to find a base in which love would be able to flourish in a holy way. So that need to love and be loved ended up in the streets, ended up in things that are unholy. The explanation, the reason for this, and we've spoken about this so many times, is that when Yiddishkeit is not delightful to a child, when Yiddishkeit is not enjoyable, when Yiddishkeit is not lichtig, it's not shining in his life, when Yiddishkeit is hard and boring and meaningless, and be quiet and just listen and do this and do that, when Yiddishkeit is without singing, it's without rikudim, without dancing, when it's without simcha, when it's the Yiddishkeit that is dark and foreboding, so then it only means that the children will seek love someplace else, because their association with Torah and Yiddishkeit, all of their associations are dark and depressing. A Rebbe who wasn't smiling, a parent whose Yiddishkeit, in a home where the Yiddishkeit was not with simcha, with joy, was not with a Shabbos, a lichtige Shabbos, but it seemed that the parents were just doing it because they had to, and it was a pain in the neck, and they really didn't want to. And how the parents spoke to each other, it looks like they had to be married, they don't really want to be with each other, but they have to be with each other. And the whole hergish, a Rebbe who the kids could see, he doesn't really want to be in their class, He really would rather not be in the yeshiva. He'd rather not be teaching us. And there's no feeling of the Rebbe loving being here, wanting to be with us, of my parents loving each other and loving us and wanting to be here. But the parents, the children feel that their parents would be happier. How many children feel is that their parents would be happier if they never would have been born? Because it seems that everything in life that my parents are upset and annoyed is always with me. I'm causing my parents to always be upset and annoyed and angry and worried. And because of me, my parents are arguing and fighting. And the child begins to associate his entire presence, his entire life with sadness and with tzibrochenkeit, and so Tzimei says that zed dvar mamukim baruchim is obviously very deep and long inyan, complicated inyan. The kudu b'ktsar, briefly, he says, kosum mi rav Mendel mi Vitebsk vod tzadikim kachin in them. They're cooking in this inyan, very strong. It's an expression in Yiddish. It means that the bubbling, strong and boiling in this inyan. Because the nisham of a Jew, the holy nisham of a Jew, the nisham of a Jew comes from the highest place, from the throne of Hashem's glory. And our ultimate destination is to return and to delight in Hashem's presence. That means that the nishama is, by its essence, coming from a place of delight and returning to a place of delight. And embedded in the very essence of the neshama is its need and its natural desire and yearning to enjoy, to be happy, to delight. Fill us, Hashem, satiate us and fill us with your goodness. It's the nature of a Jew. With Hashem, in Hashem's presence, where the neshama comes from, there's only joy. Like when Hashem gave us the Torah at Har Sinai, it was, the Torah was given with tremendous lichtekeit, light and joy. Therefore, shechosel in neshama, next page, shechosel in neshama yudches, it's a tanugam akedoshim. When the neshama is lacking holy joy and holy delight of sabeinu mituvecha, of oiz v'chedva b'mkoyma, when a Jew is not enjoying davening, not enjoying learning, when a Jew is not enjoying the atmosphere, the environment of Yiddishkeit, es ha'or ha'kodesh, the holy light of Yiddishkeit, es ha'simcha kedosh, and the joy of Yiddishkeit, oz yesh li yetzer ulokolach hervayu shalom, then the yetzer comes all of his friends, and it has the ability, to bring into the mind of a Jew all kinds of delusions, phony delusions, all kinds of fantasies. That what are the fantasies? That there are other ways for you to have a good time in life. Yiddishkeit is not it. There must be other ways. The most basic need of a Jew is to delight, is to enjoy, is to feel simcha and light. And when a person is not feeling that in Yiddishkeit, so then the Yetzer comes along and says, well, Yiddishkeit is not what's going to do it for you. Yiddishkeit's not going to do it for you. But there are other things in life that could bring you joy. There are other things. Owning this and having that, and a boyfriend and a girlfriend, and this kind of music and that kind of friend and this kind of profession. All of these are the things that are going to give you the tanug, the delight and the pleasure that you so desperately long for. Sha'af shalakalbo gishmak v'simcha v'or. The Yetzer comes and tells you that there are other things in life. Yiddishkeit's not going to do it for you. There are many people that say that sentence. It's not doing it for me. Shabbos is not doing it for me. Tefillin is not doing it for me. Tefillin is not doing it for me. What does it mean? It's not doing it for you. And more than ever, before Mashiach comes, since our generation is desperate for love, since it's Avraham Avinu's time and David HaMelech's time, and the whole Indian in this world was Ahava, was love, is love, it was and is love. So if they're not going to get it, then they're going to begin, like in the old song, they're going to begin looking for love in all the wrong places. That's just the teva, that's just the nature of a Jew. They're going to look for gishmak, for simcha, or they're going to look for delight and gishmak someplace else. We all know that, of course, those other things ultimately are not going to give that person a feeling of joy and of light. Temporarily, it'll give them an experience that's exciting, that's different, that's fun. But as Chazal tell us, and Rav Tzvi Meir brings in a minute, in the end it turns very bitter. Because the soul of a Jew is from an exalted place. It comes from Hashem, from the throne of glory. And all these other joys, all these other imposters that claim to have the ability to bring him joy, to bring him simcha, they can't. And because they can't, he's more bitter and frustrated and angry than before. And many times when they're far away from their parents, far away from the yeshivas, and they see that Yiddishkeit can be good, and Yiddishkeit can be happy, not the way it was shoved down my throat, and not the way that it was misrepresented, and they begin to realize that God himself is not angry the way my parents said he is, and my Rebbe, and God is not vengeful and nasty and mean and petty the way that my Rebbe and parents, God forbid, said that he is, and that God is smiling, so then they can return to Hashem's Baruch. After going through all the bitterness of looking for simcha and looking for tanuk and looking for joy and pleasure in the wrong places. This is all sheker, v'shav, dimyon mamish. It's all imagination. That's why this past Shabbos was Parshas Parah. It was Shabbos Parah of the Paradum. We don't know the reason for the red cap. We just know that Hashem told us that it somehow can remove the tumah, the impurity that death brings. So Rashi brings down that the Satan, the evil one, and the Umas Ha'ilam, and the nations of the world, the Goyim, they come to us and they say, Ma tam, what reason is there for the paraduma? And the Sfasemis and other tzaddikim explain that when a Jew's Yiddishkeit is without feeling and without warmth, then he hears Sutton in his ear, and the friend down the block that's having a good time going to clubs and going to movies, he hears that so-called friend whispering in his ear, Ma tam, what's the reason for your Yiddishkeit? What do you get out of your Yiddishkeit? Do you have any tam? Tam doesn't only mean reason, it means a tam, a geschmack, a taste, right? Like you say a kugel has a good tam and it's geschmack. Ma tam, what geschmack do you get from Yiddishkeit? I see you, every time I see you going to yeshiva, you look like you're walking to the gallows. You look like you're going for your execution. Look at our chevra. We're going to the club. We're going to a club Saturday night. Look at us. We're dancing all the way into the club, mamish, and there and back. We're having a good time. Look at us. We're singing. We're drinking. We're laughing. We're happy. And you look like you're mamish walking around like an old man, an old lady. You have no geschmack in life. You have no simcha. Your parents just load you up with all these things you don't understand. And then you go to your school. We go to school. We get out at 1 o'clock, at 2 o'clock, and you come at 6 o'clock, and you have Shabbos, and the boys have Sunday, and look at you, it's a brach, like an old man, and because if this boy or this girl would feel that their Yiddishkeit is lichtig, is with light and is with joy, then they wouldn't hear that coming from down the block. They would laugh at it, just like as adults, if somebody comes and tells us, hey, what do you need Shabbos? But he's sitting at home Shabbos, come with us to the mall, right, on Shabbos. So as we get older, we know that we would never, ever, ever give a minute of Shabbos for all the malls and Irishkeit in the world, because we live the whole week to have a geschmack of Shabbos. But children don't get that. To them, Shabbos could be, if, God forbid, that's how it is in the home, Shabbos could be just, don't do this and don't do that. And they see these people from down the block, that they're doing everything they would like to do. And it could cause terrible, terrible, terrible brokenness. Akadekach, that he feels, the child feels no tam, no taste, and no reason in being a Jew. That's what it means that by the paradum. It's not just the paradum. He feels that all of his Yiddishkeit is without, is irrational. It doesn't make sense to him. And the truth is, a Jew doesn't have to have all the answers. But if a Jew's Yiddishkeit is the source of him feeling love and feeling simcha and joy, he doesn't need all the reasons. When is it that everybody wants to have philosophical explanations? When the Yiddishkeit's not geschmack. Whenever somebody comes to you and that they're having problems with Yiddishkeit and they start to ask you about something in the Rambam, don't even waste your time. It's nothing to do with the Rambam. Just give them a chalmuk and sing mirrors, they'll be fine. And then you can talk about a Rambam later on, some other time. They have no philosophical problem. The kids now, they're philosophers now. They're philosophers. In the old days, they were more philosophically bent. Kids nowadays generally are worried about one thing, and that's themselves. And themselves being happy. They're not worried about free choice and how did God know this before he created me? And they don't really care about that stuff. These are all openings and excuses and things and lines that they've heard, and they just repeat them. They just want to be happy. And the Yiddishkeit's not making them happy. It's that simple. So they go with a philosophical, they have to explain why they're not religious anymore. So it sounds funny to say, it's not geschmack. So, and my parents are not geschmack, my rebbe's not geschmack, my yeshiva, my home is not lichtig, it's not... So there's a Rambam, because of the Rambam, and the Rambam was smarter than you, and he also didn't have answers to all these questions, and he kept on keeping Shabbos after that, right? At the very beginning of the Rambam is where he asked the question, how could we have free choice if God knows everything? The Rambam asked that at the beginning. And the Rambam didn't have an answer. The Rambam just said, in his own, I'm not saying this is not how he said, but the Rambam said sort of like, I don't know, beats me. The Rambam said, God's way of thinking is not our way of thinking. And after that he wrote all the rest of his volumes of halacha. Can you imagine? He managed not to go off the derech, the Rambam. The Rambam wasn't at risk. He kept all of Yiddishkeit after the big question, how does God know? And I have free choice. So when you have a Jew that comes to you with these kind of questions, it's not because of this, it's not because of that, it's an emotional issue. It's not philosophical. There could be, because of the lack and the emptiness and the deficiency of simcha in his Yiddishkeit, he begins to ask himself a million questions. That's natural. And then he hears the people down the block asking him questions. And he hears it in different books and magazines and television shows. But if he would have a geschmack in Yiddishkeit, like our ancestors and they had a geschmack in Yiddishkeit, it's a kasha, so it's a kasha. It's a good kasha. How does God know? It's an avkimen. How does God know? You eat the matzahs and you wash an egg of us, you put on tumen again. How does God know? He told us that we have free choice. How do we have free choice? I don't know. We have free choice. He said, not the word, we have free choice. We can trust that he's telling us the truth. But it's not philosophical. That's not at the core of what's hurting them. That's what he says. So they begin to look in all physical things. Dimin mamish, ari b'chala dvar magashmi, b'chala taibis v'hanos, v'atanugim haritzainis mashaloyiyah, is a kolkul eshavishek of a dimin. This is what's so sad. Because the person thinks he's going to find, she's going to find happiness in all of these taibis, desires, and pleasures of this world. And it's all a lie. Just like Esav, Chazal tells the name means from the word shav. It's a lie. It's a deception. Esav tells you it's going to be good like this. It's not good. Zaha oilam. That's why the word oilam, world, of course, is helam, means it hides, it conceals, it's chayshich, it's dark. The world is presenting itself as something which is going to give you joy and it's going to make you fulfilled. And kol kulay tchilosa masak v'soifay mar. It's in the beginning sweet and in the end it's bitter. So a person, he first thinks this is going to make him happy and he gets involved in all these different things that this is what he was deprived of. In the end it's very bitter. I met recently a friend of mine. I haven't seen him in, must be since 20. It's a long time. And we were together in yeshiva. He was one of the top guys in yeshiva. One of the top guys. He's a brilliant guy, and he's a very chashuva heart surgeon in Manhattan now. And he left everything. He left all. He left Yiddishkeit. And we were together in yeshiva last. We were roommates actually. He left Yiddishkeit. And he said to me, and he had different service, and he's lived with over the years with 30, 40 different women, grace. And I saw him recently. He was just, it wasn't a happy occasion. We met someplace. There was somebody had passed away. We met there. And I hugged him. And I said, Chazor b'cha. Rav Meir said to Elisha ben Avu, I said, come back. I said, come back to us. And I can't tell you how he started like trembling. And he said, I don't know how. And then he said to me, I said, what do you mean you don't know how? You start again. You don't know how, you know how. But then he said this. He said, after all these years, the sweetest thing in my life that I remember is a black Gemara. It's a page of Gemara. Can you imagine? He says, all of these things that I've been trying and going, running to and going after, he's a multimillionaire. They write him up in books and he's this and that and he's got this woman, that girlfriend. And he says, all I'm chalishing for is that black Gemara when we were 16 years old. And he told me about when we were learning that we finished a Gemara one night and we were learning. He says, that's what I think about. This is what a Jew is. What's a Yid? In the beginning, it's musak. It seems like those things are going to be sweet, but they're bitter. They're bitter in the end. It's a bitterness. So that's what it means. Mar legamrei, totally bitter. The kamish yoyser musak hatchilaso, and the sweeter you think it is at the beginning. Meaning, what do you mean? It means the taivas, the desires of this world. The sweeter they seem in the beginning, kach ze yoyser mar mar legamrei. The more bitter it is at the end. He's speaking in such an innocent way, he's such a tzaddik. So he says, people think they're going to get such a geschmack from eating and from drinking and from sleeping and from verbringen, getting together with their friends, schmizen, schmoozing with friends. And then he says, I don't want to mention other things, I don't want to talk about other things, that they think that's going to give them a pleasure in life. In the beginning it's sweet, but in the end it's bitter. Certainly what this person really needs is not something which is physical. When a Jew sleeps, when a Jew drinks, Hashem is not saying that that's unnecessary. That's not gashmius when we eat or drink. It's supposed to be something which we do as part of our service of Hashem. Zeh kodesh kedoshim. He says, I'm not against eating and drinking. I'm not telling people they shouldn't eat, to sleep, and drink, and to be part of this world. That's part of what Hashem Baruch Hu wants us, and it's part of our geshmak, and to enjoy, and serving Hashem. I should serve la'atzma, what we need for ourselves, labayis, for our homes. There's nothing wrong with having a nice home, and for making it nice, and for fixing things up, and that's good. And mishpacha, and for the family. That's not gashmi. So if you want your house to be nice, and you want the children to have clothing, you want to be able to eat, and so on, if it's done, of course, in proper balance, and it's done with good intentions, that's not gashmi. It's not being overly physical. You have to be careful to always keep a watch. That's not gashmi. I'm talking about those things that are beyond extra. Our generation is very weak, and those things that in earlier generations were considered to be luxuries, nowadays it's considered to be an absolute necessity. We couldn't live a summer without air conditioning. We couldn't live a winter without heat. We would go out of our minds. What would be with us? And these are things that in our parents' generation, these were luxuries. If you had it, was gewaldic. We had a friend in our block that had a color, got a color television, and we went over to watch the Flintstones, and the whole block came over, and we were watching the Flintstones, the color. It's like, wow, this is. You know, you must be the happiest person on earth, because only rich people have a color television. Now, if someone doesn't have color, it's like the biggest lo yitzlach. They won't even let him into daven into minyan if he doesn't have a color television. What are you? What's the matter with you? So all these things, the changes that have taken place, and we're very, very weak. And those things that the foods that are so rich, and so, the desserts and candies that our parents and grandparents saw like once in their life. You know, maybe such a thing when they went. Like to that they went for 10 minutes, that they saw by some big veer or chasna. Now, if the poorest little yiddel doesn't have it on his table, it's not, you can't make a shidduch with him. If you can't afford to put it by the chasna, it's not a shidduch. Such foods, crazy things, the types of foods and the amount of food, crazy. It's a very weak generation, and we think this is now a necessity. And how much sleep a person needs now. Everybody I talk to, this one needs 8 hours. How come they don't come to learn? I need this. I need 7 hours. I need 8 hours. I need 10 hours. I read in the home journal. It says you could get very sick if you don't have 10 hours. And this one read in this book. You need to have, you know what? All these different. So is there any truth to this? It's a schwachkeit. What is a schwachkeit? It's a weakness. We're so, you know, big babies and weak, and a schwachkeit. A person needs 10 hours of sleep. And how many times you talk? And how many women? And we spoke about this before. How many women that they're so broken and they're so miserable because they feel that they don't have they're not getting the hours of sleep that they had when they were single, and because now with the children they can't sleep, and they would like to have their 10 hours, and they want to have a Sunday morning. They tell the husband, take all the baby's children arise out because Shprin Sabela's got to have her. I grew up, I had 12 hours and I'm getting my 12 hours. It's kumtzemir and it's coming to me. And every Jew deserves good things, and I'm not saying that it should be better for the women or for the men. I'm not playing that game. What I'm saying is that it's not coming to you. Who says it's coming to you? You want to get married, you want to have kids. You can't set a kid on the Shabbos clock. Everything you want to set on the Shabbos, the kids don't go on Shabbos clocks. Everybody would like to do that. Like to have like this thing, and they plug the kid in, and the kid goes off like it. And then you set it for a certain amount of time, whenever you want. You set it for those hours, and the kid starts to cry. You feed him. You want to put on the Shabbos clock. And like you talk to these women, like they're on the spot. I can't believe my kid is up all night. What do you mean you can't? What do you think the kids? Why shouldn't the kid be up at night? They like to get up. But they have in yonim. I don't know. They're afraid. They're hungry. Whatever it is, they're babies. No, so they get up. I'm not talking about something, God forbid, that's not healthy, not normal. A child's not feeling well. I'm talking about if a kid is healthy. I'm sure that you have the same experience of your parents alive and well. If you talk to my father and you complain about these things, he looks at you like you're a Martian. If you would tell my father, what's going to be? The baby's up and. my father said, "Well, isn't that wonderful? The baby cries. That's so good. It's good for the lungs. It's healthy." It's bechlal. Our whole weakness, a shvachkeit, that everything is, and therefore we get such a brach, and we need more sleep, and we need this kind of food, and we need that kind of all these different things. He says, you know, and it's true, we need certain things, and because we're weak and we need maybe more sleep. Nowadays, if a person doesn't get a certain amount of sleep, he says he's in a lousy mood, I'm in a bad mood. Anybody can lose their temper and yell and say, I missed a half hour sleep last night, my kid woke me up during the night, that's why I'm nasty, that's why I'm moody, that's why I'm this, that's why I'm that. And there's a truth to it. We got so used to these things that it affects our behavior. Eliya kol kulo shalva, kol kulo simcha. That nowadays we need much more, that we should feel that we have shalva, that we have some peace and quiet, much more than was needed in the past. We need to have peace and quiet. Do you think our ancestors had homes like we have homes? We can go to this room or that room and to have a little bit of quiet. What do we do? They didn't have this. Maybe a big veer. Mostly they lived in the one thing, and it was this, and they put a curtain here, and there was a curtain there, and whatever, and this one screamed, and this one's yelled. It was a rash, it was a tumult. And now we have Baruch Hashem, we could go, and we could, even in the home, a person can get a little bit quiet and go to this room, close the door. We didn't have mostly, we didn't live in this way. But this became all a necessity. So it's very hard for us to feel kolkula simple, to feel filled with joy. We should feel in our homes that it's light, it's lichtig, v'almashu v'ade masars. But even for our generation, there are some things that are definitely overdone, he says. In other words, he's saying, it's true, we do need more than earlier generations. And that's okay, as long as it's within reason. But then there's, even in our generation, there are mosaros. Mosaros, that's the word yoser, means things that are just overdone and needs that have become... Like we spoke about a few weeks ago, that, you know, parents, mothers, or fathers that say, I need to have my space, I need my space, and to get away from the kids. And where was there ever in the history of Klal Yisrael such a concept of leaving the children and so on? All of this is all part of the weakness of our generation. And this is Baschol as a Geschmack. We think that it's very, very good. Like those parents that they have somebody else raising their children, it's very geschmack because it's quiet. They can go go shopping, and this one can go to shia, and he can go to see his friends or play some ball, and she can go to exercise, and she can go to take care of herself, and she can spazier around with her friends. It's very geschmack, but soifa, the end, is mar, is bitter. It's bitter. The children that grew up without their parents. That's this generation. Not God forbid in time, but there's a lot of that this generation that never was before. Children who are abandoned by their parents, and but not by parents who are mean or bad. They're saying all the time, Shefla, I love you, Shefla. See you later. You're the cutest, I love you, Shefla. Please do the homework. She needs to finish up by this and this. But thank you, everybody. Bye bye. Like you're all on the show. Take care, everyone. Throw kisses. Goodbye to the kids. That's it. Finish. I'm not talking about going to a chasna to a mitzvah. I'm talking about it's time to go for myself, my space, to go for looking. Everybody's looking for space. We never had such big homes with such little space. The homes are bigger than ever before. We have less space than we ever had. And our Zaydis and Dogas, they had tiny little homes and they had space. And now people have to go traveling on airplanes to get up, to have more space. And they have to go to vacations and to all different places to have space. And I was eight dozen bobbies that lived in tiny little holes and they had space. It's achmanis. And these requirements are when we indulge, they're very sweet, but there's a price that we pay. We have, just look at the first page that I gave you now. We just have time to start. Anybody who's been in the shul for some time has already seen this and heard this, and I'm just going to review it. The first page that says on the need for stimulation, the pages are numbered, 1, 2, and 3. The first page that says need for stimulation is from the Tzav Vizir, it's from the diary of the Holy Rebbe after whom our shul is named, the Rebbe from Piazetsna, the Eish Kodesh. Need for stimulation. It's the following two pages, which you could read afterwards, but we'll go over next time. The following two pages are written from an amazing, wonderful article that I read recently in a book written by, that this article was written by a woman by the name of Yael Unterman. A terrific article that I've already sent along to a number of principals, and I'm begging that it should be required reading in all yeshivas. You'll see why Mitzvah next time. But look at the first page. Of course, this was written in Hebrew. It's in the diary of the Piazetzna, the need for stimulation. I've spoken about this many, many times over the years, and I've done it together with the Chevra on a number of occasions. The human soul relishes sensation. This is exactly what the Rebbe was talking about, was talking about in what we just learned. The human soul, and we're talking specifically, of course, the soul of a Jew, that's a chelik elokim yimal, that mamash comes from the throne of glory, relishes sensation. It relishes to have some excitement, to have to sensation. Not only if it is a pleasant feeling. That's what we're talking about now. Now, really, it would be great if it's a positive sensation, if it's a pleasant feeling, but not only that, but for the very experience of stimulation. The nature of the neshama of a Jew is that it's chalishing for excitement, for stimulation, for love, for excitement. It's chalishing. Sooner sadness or some deep pain, rather than the boredom of non-stimulation. A person would rather, it sounds crazy, but a person would rather even go through something painful than the boredom of than just not having any stimulation at all. People will watch distressing scenes, right? You'll have cars backed up for miles and miles on the highway, because everybody has to stop and take a look at the accident, right? And how many people pay fortunes of money to go watch horror movies, or to bring it into their homes, or to read frightening books? And whenever I teach this, I always mention that the obsession that many people have with going to all these amusement parks and going on frightening rides, and then people go bungee jumping, and I don't know if that's still fashionable. I mean, I never went, but all kinds of things, doing all kinds of things to have some excitement. And I've mentioned this many times that I did many, I'm sure many of you have also done, and Be'ez Hashem will do, have made many trips to, you know, these amusement parks and chalamoids and over the years. And we were once, and my daughter Suri, as a little child, she was with these rides, she was like crazy with these rides. And I was afraid, I always hated them. When I was a kid, I hated them. And the only time I went is because, like, the guys, like, you know, they made you feel like you were, you know, you were, like, not going to be successful in life unless you did it. But it was really, I never really wanted to go. I hated them. And my father never had a haver meaning to take us to these things. He looks at this, my mother and father look at these things as that they're not for Jews at all. And I never went as a kid, only with my friends when we got to 16, 17, and the guys wanted to go to this place and to hang out, and they had to go on a roll because I was always sick. I hated it. I always tried to find excuses and whatever. My Suri, all of my children, but my Suri in particular. So we were once in this place, and there was such a ride. And they always wanted to go early before the Chassidim come, you know, when you can get in a lot of, because the Chassidim come like at 2 or 3, right? So you got to get there with all the Litvaks at 12. So the Chassidim just finished davening, you know. So they can go a lot. So Siri's going in this one ride that it like drops like 200 feet, like boom. This crazy thing, and I was just afraid to even look at it. And she comes down each time, this little girl, she goes right back, and she just come right down, she runs back, and I was holding, she didn't want me to stop. Siri, what is it? I asked her, Siri, what do you like so much? What do you like so much with this ride? She says, Daddy, I almost died. Oh, it's great, I almost died. So, it's a temp. What if people like to go to see, what is it, people go see horror movies? I can't get out of my head. When I was a kid, I was sitting with my sister in the den. We were watching this scary movie with Betty Davis. I remember she was drowning a baby. She was supposed to watch this baby, and she's like talking and singing a lullaby, and she had those big eyes, you know, and she's like singing a lullaby, she's drowning this kid. I had nightmares from this until recently. I'm just starting to come around. For so many years I had this, and then the other baby she puts under the pillow, she puts the bed, but under the pillow, not on top, and she's also saying, like, you know, but under the pillow. And I'm telling you, so many years I had a pocket from this, and I was sitting there with my sister. So I'm the boy, I'm supposed to be be very tough, and my sister's like going crazy, and I'm trying to act like I'm fine. But inside of me, like, yes. But then if it's on again, you turn it on again. It's geschmack. Because it's good to be stimulated and excited, and everybody's looking for something. So that's what the Rebbe says, the PSS. Let's just end this. Such is human nature and a need of the soul, just like all its other needs and natures, because of where the neshama comes from, especially with the yid. So he who is clever, this is the secret of being a Jew, you can't get away from this need for stimulation and the need to have love and to love. But he who is clever will fulfill this need with passionate prayer and Torah learning. A Yiddishkeit that's passionate, a Yiddishkeit that's exciting, and a Avodas Hashem that's filled with ahava, that's filled with love and stimulation. A Rebbe who's stimulating in his teaching, and a Mora teacher in the home, and Yiddishkeit is exciting. But the soul whose divine service is without emotion, listen to this, will have to find its stimulation elsewhere. It will either be driven to cheap, even forbidden sensation, or will become emotionally ill from lack of stimulation. That's the Metzius. I've shared this with many psychologists and people who have studied for many, many years how the mind of a human being, and then this spoke from the clarity and the truth of how the Rebbe said this so many years ago. This is what we see nowadays. This is what we're seeing. These are not children or adults who are incapable of davening and learning and loving Yiddishkeit. They were just never shown what Yiddishkeit could be. And they never saw that aspect of Yiddishkeit. They never felt the warmth of Yiddishkeit. And they're looking for excitement, they're looking for stimulation, they're looking for friendship and ahava and love. Because there's a certain quota that the soul needs. That's what the Rebbe says. Like all its other needs, such as human nature and the need of the soul, just like all its other needs and dangers. So you either fill it with passionate Yiddishkeit, you fill it with loving right things and good things and passionate Yiddishkeit, or God forbid, the person will either be driven to cheap, either forbidden ways of looking for that excitement in life, or Chas V'Shalom will become sick, and that can come out in many, many ways of emotional illness. It doesn't have to be, God forbid, extreme, but in her article that we're gonna work on a little bit next time, in Yael Unterman's article, she talks about some of these issues and what kind of subtle emotional illness is taking over many of our communities now, children, where they're holding in and keeping in many, many things, not telling their parents, not telling their rabbis, and all of a sudden, like when they're 16, 17 years old, even younger, boom, things just go crazy. And they're not talking about things. There's this illness that's simmering inside of them, where the Yiddishkeit is not giving them any fulfillment. And they know that the other things are totally forbidden and they can't do them. And they're stuck in this place of not having any joy. And they want to get out of Yiddishkeit, but they don't want to hurt their parents. And they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. And they're becoming sick. They're becoming broken teenagers that are tzibrachim, that are totally tzibrachim. And this is something which is affecting us in many, many ways. And Mr. Shem, we'll talk about it, and we'll do our best in our homes, in our lives, to try to be mechazik.